All right, so we are recording now. Hey, co-op listeners, this is Lynn Coles here with another In Touch interview. Greg Ciotti and I have been collecting these conversations with community members and leaders for the last year to make sure that co-op listeners and folks know about the different organizations and initiatives in Central Texas that are doing really awesome work to help make sure that friends and neighbors and families can stay stable during the current crisis. And we're looking forward to continuing these interviews after everyone gets vaccinated and we kind of get back to normal as well, just to make sure that we can keep sharing updates and initiatives with folks that can be helpful to them. And in addition to nonprofit organizations and neighborhood groups and whatnot, we're also talking with business owners who have been remarkably and consistently supporting their staff, their employees, their communities throughout the pandemic. And one of those folks is with us here today, Eric Silverstein, who is a local business owner, manages a bunch of different companies, including the Peach Tortilla, which folks might know from their catering business. Eric, thank you so much for joining us today and just for sharing a little bit about your experience during this really difficult time and your work to make sure that that folks are sticking together and keeping in touch with one another.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah. So let's see. I mentioned that you own that you run the Peach Tortilla. What other initiatives or businesses do you have going on?
Well, the Peach Tortilla kind of encompasses a couple variety of different things. So,
okay.
You know, we have our restaurant on Burnett Road. We have our catering operation. I run a venue space called Peach Social House.
Okay.
We also have Peach Tortilla food trucks. You see us pop up at festivals and whatnot.
Yeah.
I have a Peach Tortilla at the airport as well.
Oh, cool.
And then I have a Peach Tortilla Ghost Kitchen in Boise, Idaho that we launched during the pandemic.
Uh-huh.
And then I own Bar Peach, which is a bar-focused restaurant concept down in Clarksville on 6th Street.
So oh, cool.
That's kind of the whole shebang right there.
Yeah. What is a ghost kitchen?
Ghost kitchen is just basically a kitchen without an area for, without a customer facing area. So it's pretty much all, it's all delivery.
Gotcha.
Essentially.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I feel like I've maybe seen some stuff about those kinds of spaces popping up during COVID-19, but didn't know that there was a name for them. That's cool. Ghost Kitchen. Okay.
Ghost Kitchens.
What's happening in Boise, Idaho? How'd you get up there?
We were just approached, you know, approached by a group of, investors and operators that were looking to bring some concepts to a large ghost kitchen in Boise, and you know they had landed a favorable deal to start in Boise.
Okay.
And so you know during the pandemic, I had a little bit extra time on my hands because we were you know my catering operation was kind of down to zero.
Yeah.
Our restaurants were barely getting reopened. You know.
Yeah.
So, we just felt like we had to kind of look at different opportunities, largely because, you know, the world was pretty uncertain.
Yeah.
Are restaurants going to ever reopen like they used to? Like, do we need to think that the restaurant model is, completely turned upside down?
Right.
We didn't know. This was pre-vaccine and back in June.
Yeah.
You know, very early stages of the pandemic. And we just felt like it was prudent to explore kind of all options.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. I think the pandemic pivot has been so stressful and also productive for lots of folks. And for some folks, not productive at all, but it's good to hear that y'all are, finding different ways to diversify an already really diverse business model, given that y'all have like, you know, the social house, the food trucks, the restaurants and all the things. I wonder like what, I mean, this is a big question, but how have y'all been, kind of like keeping in communication and making sure that you can take advantage of these different kinds of opportunities? Like I guess just generally like during the last year or so, there's been lots of changes. How are your employees? How are people doing?
think most people are doing all right.
Yeah.
They're adapting. I think, you know, from I think April and May of last year were definitely the toughest.
Yeah.
A lot of uncertainty, a lot of people on unemployment. But I think now most people are doing all right. You know,
yeah.
I mean, there are jobs out there now.
Yeah.
It's just a question of whether you want to work them or not.
Totally. I've heard from lots of folks that, you know, like the issue of coming back to work is an important one, but it does feel a lot, people are, you know, with vaccination happening right now, people are feeling a lot better about being back in public and, you know, I guess like sharing space with folks. What do you think about the kind of statement that you made earlier about like whether the restaurant industry will return? Do you think it'll be, I mean, like, what, just in terms of like your spaces, like, are you planning like full? I'm not like full reopenings. Any like not like there's a plan, but what are your thoughts on what the future holds for the restaurant industry?
Well, I mean, I think the restaurant industry will return.
Yeah.
I don't anticipate it being down forever.
Yeah.
I think a return to pretty close to normal is probably in play.
Yeah.
If not normal. I think that outdoor spaces may be valued a little bit more.
Yeah, agreed.
And I think that perhaps the people that were a little bit more cautious throughout the pandemic may have a preference to just be outside.
Mm-hmm.
Which is understandable.
Totally.
So, you know, it may recalibrate how we view outdoor dining.
Yeah.
Perhaps it's just a safer dining experience overall. It may recalibrate how we view planes, you know?
Yeah,
but,
right.
But long term, I see the industry rebounding. I think eating food through delivery is just not the same.
No, totally.
And you're not going to go on a date, you know, picking up your food. You know, you're not going to celebrate events through takeout.
Right, right.
So, I think restaurants will return.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Those kind of like special occasions are still special, you know, in those kind of like celebratory ways. Well, how's the food trailers been doing? I've had this sense, but I haven't talked to anybody so far who's been running a food trailer, but I feel like food trailers were kind of like really well poised for outdoor dining and such.
Yeah, I mean, we send our food trucks out to neighborhoods.
Uh-huh. Oh, cool.
To be honest, like the food trucks weren't a big part of our business. Right before the pandemic, we kind of just used the trucks for catering. I mean, I built the business off the food truck.
Yeah.
You know, 11 years ago, but those businesses are tough to run, and so it wasn't really our focus.
Yeah.
But when the pandemic hit, we took the trucks back out because we needed to have some cash flow. We needed some revenue to come
right.
in.
Right.
So we've done that, and you know, it's helped, but it's not a big part of our business, and it's certainly not anything that's gonna boost us into profitability.
Gotcha. Okay. Do they still do? Does the city of Austin still do the food truck roundup, where everybody who has a food truck has to like drive their food truck to a place because they have to be drivable? Is that still a thing?
No. I mean, Your food trailers don't have to be drivable.
Oh, really?
So,
okay.
Yeah.
But
you have to be able to tow them to get an inspection.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. My friend Hannah ran a toaster outside of Stagold for a while, and I remember like the hassle of getting that giant Airstream out of that space and getting it to wherever the inspection was.
That's right. Yeah, you have to tow it. Yeah. You
gotcha.
Have to tow it. That's right. Mm-hmm.
Well, let's see. Okay, so I didn't know that there was a Peach Social House, the Austin event venue. That's exciting also to just, like, know that there's space out there to, I guess, like, celebrate and have weddings and kind of events and whatnot in. And that would be a place that would have been open for South by Southwest if it wasn't all virtual this year. Is that right?
It would have. I mean, we weren't getting a ton of South by Southwest events there. We're probably getting, you know, one or two a year. But,
oh, okay.
I mean, that venue's been dramatically impacted by the pandemic. I mean,
yeah,
we pretty much lost all business for a year.
Sure.
Yeah. You know, a lot of reschedules or cancellations for weddings.
Yeah. Were you able to take advantage of any of the creative space relief programs through the city of Austin, or any, have there been any avenues for you to access, like funding? I mean, obviously there was like the PPP program through the federal government, but how's the application process been? Are you guys still, operating on any of those, I guess not revenue streams, but like grant programs?
You know, we were denied through the city.
Oh, okay.
Through both of my businesses. So unfortunately we never got anything from the city of Austin.
Yeah.
We were told that we weren't a 2-year business for Barb Peach, even though technically we were.
Oh.
So we weren't eligible there. And then for my other entity, we were too big. So we didn't get too much revenue in 2019.
Yeah.
So we didn't qualify. But the government loans helped, and we certainly needed them, and we're using them to pay employees.
Sure. Well, let's see. We're in like springtime now. I think probably most things right now are hinging on mass vaccination. Do y'all have any big plans coming up? You mentioned the Ghost Kitchen, any new kind of like offshoots of the Peach Tortilla, or what do you have in mind for the future?
Well, I mean, we want to expand. We want to continue to expand. We're looking at doing that now.
Uh-huh.
So that's certainly in the playbook.
Yeah.
It just the pandemic kind of derailed all the expansion plans for a year.
Yeah.
We got hit hard by the pandemic. You know, some people didn't. Some people got really hit hard.
Yeah.
If you own a catering company, and you own full service restaurants, and you own a restaurant inside of an airport, you got hit hard.
Yeah,
you
know, because totally.
None of those are really built for a pandemic. If you own drive throughs, if you own delivery focused companies, if you own supermarkets, those businesses are doing fine. But
yeah.
We just were not tailored for a pandemic, you know?
Yeah, totally.
And so we are being forced to kind of climb this mountain again, and it's a 2-year climb, and we're not back to normal yet.
Right.
We're not going to be at the end of the year.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that's probably lost in a lot of people, is even if people's lives get back to normal or semi-normal, our business is not going to be back to normal this year.
Right.
You know? And so we took a 2-year hit, and that's a long time to suffer for something that you've built for, 9 or 10 years of your life.
Right.
And that is, your entire livelihood. So it's been a struggle, and, I have no interest in sugarcoating, the impact of the pandemic.
Yeah.
I mean, it's brutal, and our response has been all over the place, which has further set us back, as a company, as a business.
What do you mean our response has been all over the place?
Well, I think as a country.
Okay, got it. Right.
In terms of like messaging, mm-hmm. and don't wear a mask, wear a mask.
Yeah.
How deadly is the virus? We don't know. There's just a lot of unknowns around the virus, and we failed to act quickly.
Yeah.
And, the impact is, look at the impact on business. That's what it's going to impact,
Yeah.
The countries that reacted quickly and took the right measures, they're more back to normal, and for the most part, business is back to normal in those countries. Not all of them.
Yeah.
It's just a long, long road to recovery, and it's certainly frustrating. But I don't know what you can do. When you're in the middle of a pandemic.
I just watched an interview with Peter Jackson, the guy who directed the Lord of the Rings movies, because he's about to come out with it's going to be a short documentary, but he found like hundreds of hours of footage from the Let It Be recordings that the Beatles did. I guess that was like back in the early 70s, but whoever was interviewing him about this Beatles footage was like, hey, yeah, also like how are New Zealand businesses, responding to the 2.5 month shutdown? And he was like, they're fine. It was 2.5 months, like everybody was completely shut down for that short amount of time. And now everything is like pretty much back to normal. And I was like, oh my gosh, we really just elongated suffering, I think, given that kind of like all overness that you were talking about.
businesses like ours did shut down for 2.5 months.
Yeah.
That's the sad part. We were completely closed for 2.5 months.
Right.
You know, we were just running takeout. So
yeah,
we paid the price and we didn't get the reward.
Yeah.
You know, that,
right.
That's the frustrating part. And
totally.
I'm torn on some of the policy stuff, and you know, I'm pro business. I'm very pro business. Obviously,
yeah.
I'm a small business owner. I want businesses to get back up and running. Some of the stuff in Texas definitely felt like it was coming a little too soon.
Yeah.
And so yeah, it's just constant two steps forward, one step backward. At the end of the day, we got to be able to provide an environment where our customers feel safe.
Yeah.
And our employees feel safe. That's pretty tough to do. And it's really tough to do when your employees don't have access to vaccines right now.
Yeah,
so,
right.
So, you know, we're caught in this middle ground of risk-reward, and we're basically – I mean, the thing that doesn't get talked about is most independent restaurants in Austin, a lot of them, I'd say 80%, have cut into their own profits in the interest of safety.
Yeah, you know? Right.
And – there's no requirement for my restaurants to be at 40 or 50% capacity anymore, but that's what we're doing.
Right.
It's hurting my business. It's hurting me financially to
yeah.
do that. And because the laws are, the rules are what they are in Texas, you know, we have landlords that say, well, just, you know, just pay full rent.
Yeah.
You can open up.
Right.
What's your problem? So it's not a fair situation, but again, it is what it is. And, you know,
yeah.
Luckily the government has come in and set these loans out, and there's some very, very favorable tax policy that got written
to help
businesses, and there's a restaurant revitalization fund. So there's a lot of things to help buoy businesses right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I was just talking with, Cole, who opened up, the Coconut Club in Neon Grotto downtown, and we were talking about the lack of directive from the governor's office here in Texas, and it, you know, how that lack of policy at a state level, then the responsibility for reactions to the pandemic and for the safety of employees and community members then goes to the city, and then if there's not like a really clear city policy, then it goes to a business owner, and then eventually it lands on employees, like, you know, like staff and bartenders and servers, to kind of like exercise their own responsibility, or their own reaction to customers. And yeah,
there is a complete lack of policy across the board for restaurants, you know.
Yeah.
Very simple rules and regulations and standards of how to operate, you know. And there are things that we've just never done during the pandemic, like
mm-hmm.
contact tracing. Like
right.
that's a joke in
yeah.
the city of Austin and in the United States in general.
Yeah.
Like, that's something we don't do. We gave up on that a long time ago. Temperature checks. Most restaurants don't do it anymore.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, we still implement that because it's not foolproof. It's not going to catch everyone. But, you know, the people that have COVID symptoms, like, they typically run a fever.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
And so, at least from my experience, you know, from talking to people. So it's an extra mechanism that we implement because we feel like it does help.
Yeah.
You know? So, but there's nothing requiring us to do that.
Right.
You know? So that seems kind of strange.
Yeah. And I mean, I was at the Chappelle show last night at Stubbs,
yeah.
and they give you
yeah.
a rapid test before you go in. There's like a long process,
yeah.
but like, who has the income outside of Dave Chappelle to do rapid tests for everybody who comes in the door, you know?
That's right.
Yeah.
And, you know, rapid tests aren't even foolproof.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
It's a lot better than nothing.
Than nothing.
You know, that'd make me feel a lot safer.
Yeah. Well, let's see. Where can people go to support the Peach Tortilla right now? Like, if folks are feeling okay about
yeah.
being in public, which spots are open? Where are the food trailers? What's the best way for folks to contribute to you and your staff?
Best places to go to one of our restaurants, obviously. So
okay.
check out, Peach Tortilla on Burnett Road,
mm-hmm.
Bar Peach, on West 6. be best to check one of those restaurants out. Those are the most accessible. We're in the stages of reopening the airport in April. It's been closed for an entire over a year now.
Oh wow.
So it's basically like reopening a restaurant. So we have our challenges ahead of us.
Totally.
That's the thing. It's like restaurants aren't like, you don't press play and reopen restaurants. You know, it doesn't work like that. Like, and that's what made the storm so devastating is like,
yeah, right.
We're already pressing pause and go and stop and go. It's insane. So I would say that most restaurants are still trying to find their way back.
Yeah.
You know, a year into this. And to me, that's crazy, but I really think that's probably the truth.
Yeah. And I wonder, like, I have seen, I work at the Hole in the Wall still. We've been open since October. Yeah. And, yeah. So we've been approached by a couple of different groups who are putting together, like, what are basically like community organized platforms for restaurant and venue safety, where, because, you know, like we've talked about, there's not a whole lot of directive, from our state or city governments. So there's just like people who are banding together and saying like, here's what we're going to do. We're going to commit to these different things. And that's how we're going to, you know, reopen safely or maintain, you know, business at 50% safely. Have you gotten into any of those groups like Good Work Austin or,
Good Work Austin, you know, I've talked to the Locadoro guys,
yeah.
Adam, and, you know, I talked to Adam Orman quite a bit.
Yeah.
Early on to, we implemented their, you know, the safety protocols that were on their requirements.
And yeah.
We've gotten pushback on some stuff, you know, like we have a wellness fee that we apply to all guest checks so that we can pay for testing.
Oh, cool. Know? Yeah.
And we've gotten bad reviews, you know.
Oh, on, no.
On like Yelp and Google. They're like, you know, how dare you, you know, charge me this 5% fee? And I'm like, you know, my response is like, it's for your safety. It's so that we don't have a COVID outbreak in this restaurant.
Right.
It's so that you don't have to get exposed and we can stay open as a business, you know, and that's just, there's a disconnect right now.
Yeah.
You know? And like when we get a COVID positive employee, which has happened, you know, we go and we test everyone,
yeah.
You know, and right now we do PCR testing, you know, where mm-hmm. it's sent to a lab that day.
Yeah.
So, you know, we try to do it as right as possible,
yeah.
You know, and then, you know, the cost of doing business has gone up, you know, the cost of gloves is insane right now.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
So we have to charge this fee. And so, yeah, we did all the stuff with Good Works and we've implemented, but
mm-hmm.
you know, not everyone understands it.
Yeah. For listeners, the PCR testing is the slow COVID test. It's the one that takes a couple of days to get a response back to.
That's right.
Not a rapid test.
And, you know, fun fact, I used to have a trailer at Hole in the Wall for a very short period of time because I met Will Tanner and
yeah.
he had this trailer called Bomb Tacos.
Bomb Tacos is amazing. Yeah. It's outside Whitehorse still.
Yeah. Yeah. So we took over Bomb Tacos. It was short lived because I mean, there's a lot of things that were kind of iffy about that trailer, but
yeah.
Anyways, that was kind of funny. That was like 10 years ago.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. Yeah. yeah. Jim Campo started running the kid. Well, for a while it was Eastside King. And then, there was some turnover. The guys from Michi Ramen came in and did Yatai.
Yeah, we were before Eastside King.
Yeah. 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 Oh man. That's funny. Back when that space was still kind of like closed off and, there like weren't, garage doors back there yet.
Nope, there might have been. That was like 2011.
Okay, yeah. Oh man, that's funny. That's taken me like way back.
Yeah, this is like the way, way back. Yeah.
Right. Well, yeah, I'm always inspired by like Adam and the folks at Good Work Austin for the and the folks at like the National Independent Venue Alliance, the people who've really come out and like done the good work, like which is basically like grassroots organizing to make sure that communities are represented, like restaurant owners and employees.
100%.
And I totally dig the idea of like a wellness fee. Like I don't know, it serves as like a really lovely reminder to people that like we're like very conscientious and doing really good work to make sure that you and our employees are safe. I actually think, I feel like everybody should have.
Like, point blank, like, the CARES Act does not require us to pay people if they get COVID and can't come to work, and we're still doing that. And awesome. That's where the wellness fees apply.
Yeah.
You know? And yeah, so, yeah. If you get COVID and you have to quarantine for 10 days because we can't come to work, we're still paying you.
Right.
You know, and if you're a server, you're getting paid your average wage. That includes tips. You know, we're not paying you minimum wage. We're paying you your lost income.
Right.
And yet we get blowback on that. Like, what the heck? You know, like, that's not cool. Like, you know, it's not sustainable for us to not charge that and just charge regular menu prices and start paying people to not come to work. That is not a sustainable model.
Right.
You know, we got to find this somewhere. And we ensure full-time staff.
Yeah.
On top of everything. So it's just the models need some work.
Yeah. That's fantastic that people are still getting paid when they are ill and can't come to work. That's like, I feel like we should all just like go to Bar Peach or go to Peach Tortilla and just like, you know, like take all the takeout or have a giant picnic outside or something just to support that kind of model.
Yeah. I mean, it's a hard model, you know?
Yeah.
It's not easy. And it, like, we had some guys that were one guy was out for 22 days.
Yeah. And people get that long COVID too. And it lasts months, you know?
Yeah.
Wow.
Anyways, but luckily I think we're close. I think, you know, we're close on vaccinations. I think a lot of our staff will be vaccinated within the next 30 to 60 days. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, they won't have that issue. We won't have that issue. And I'm optimistic. I really am. But I still think this year is, you know, we may reach normalcy at the end of the year, but in terms of us as a business, like, we're 2022.
Yeah.
That's what we're aiming for. And it's sad, you know, it's sad to think that way. It's sad to look at, say, okay, I just lost 2 years.
Right.
You know? And so that's why we're trying to do these other things. Partially to keep my mind off how far we've fallen and how much we have to come back.
Right. I think there's no sugarcoating that. It sucks. What a difficult couple of years for everybody, man.
And there's people that are worse off than us. You know?
Yeah.
If you're in New York or upstate, you know, Northeast or the Midwest, and the winter weather's not favorable, and depending on what kind of restrictions, like, you know, this has been a real even tougher.
Yeah.
At least Texas, we got weather, good weather on our side. You can go outside.
Yeah, true. And maybe the springtime is like a good time for people to go have a cocktail at Bar Peached or go have an outdoor meal or something at the Peach Tortilla. For listeners who haven't been, the Bar Peached is at 1315 West 6th Street. It's just at the corner of near Pressler, on the left-hand side of the road. The Peach Tortilla is up kind of near the corner of like Allendale. So like near that HEB on Burnett. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
It's just south of the HEB on Burnett Road.
Okay, cool. I think if folks have means, I think it would be awesome to go pay a 5% tax to make sure that employees can still get paid when they get sick, and just support the businesses and keep these folks going. Eric, thank you so much for chatting with us. I know that it's not always easy to talk about a really difficult time, but just, I think sharing perspectives is really important, and we appreciate you.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on, and really appreciate you chatting with me today.
Yeah, definitely. All right. Well, yeah, let's check back in a couple months or so. Maybe, after like springtime or summertime or something.
That sounds great.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Okay. Thanks.
Mm-hmm.